1990, a summer replacement show debuted on CBS to little fanfare. Northern Exposure was intended to be a short-run comedy series consisting of only 8 episodes. That turned into 7 more, and then the network ordered 50 more. The show became a hit that lasted 110 episodes. Recently, interest in Northern Exposure has rekindled, with all 6 seasons now available for streaming. Actors Rob Morrow, who played Dr. Joel Fleischman, and Janine Turner as Maggie O'Connell decided now was a good time to take on the monumental task of commenting on each episode one at a time, talking with former cast members, writers, directors, and crew on their podcast, aptly titled Northern Disclosure. Steve Gotcher recently talked with Rob and Janine between podcasts about their time on the show.
Well, it's funny, you know, at the end of the first season, I got a call from my agents saying they were thinking of firing me, dumping me, because I wasn't funny. And I thought, like, well, you know, first of all, I know I am funny. I mean, and I know I was funny in those first 8 shows, but the network, I was pushing the show into toward sitcom, and the guys, Josh and John, who created it, wanted a more nuanced genre, so to speak. Like, they wanted what ultimately was coined, I think, because of this show, maybe a few others, the genre of dramedy. You know, it was around there that I started to see that, you know, there's humor and there's drama, but they can coexist.
When did you realize that the show really wasn't just about you and Maggie so much as an ensemble cast?
I think that was started to creep up in the second season. You know, we did 2 short seasons originally. There was 8 episodes, then 7 episodes, and then we kicked into an unprecedented order of 50. Somewhere in the second half, I started, you know, because I could barely breathe in that first year. I had no time. I was in every single scene almost, or most of them. And if I wasn't, I was certainly working that day. I didn't have a day off.
Hey, see ya. Where are you going? Home. What are you kidding me? You gotta take me to Mr. Minifield. Oh, you can return the tapes to me later. Hey!
When I started to get days off, I started to realize, oh, they're focusing on someone else, thankfully, so I can breathe a little.
Janine, how was it for you coming into the show? When did you realize what was happening there?
I think that Rob and I were always sort of the sexual interest, you know, that kind of spark. Yeah. And people always, whether we like it or not, gravitate towards something like that. So I think that was always sort of the high common denominator of the show. But we had this exceptional cast in the exceptional town where everybody's life was integral and it mattered. Mm-hmm. And so I think that started to shine and everyone could be illuminated. And they were very careful in their scripts that sometimes it would be a Rob show, sometimes it would be Maggie's show, sometimes it would be, they really kind of divvied it out.
Right. What was it that made Northern Exposure so unique and so groundbreaking in the early 90s? What differentiated it from other shows that were on the air at the time? Can you address that, Janine?
Well, I think it harkens back to that blend of drama and comedy. Also, it's the long sort of American spirit, Wild West, North to the future. Rob and I have talked a lot about this non-judgmental universe, this sort of benevolent universe, where even now when I watch the show, because Rob and I are doing this podcast, which is so much fun, I just can't wait to get there, because no matter what sort of harried, chaotic, divisive noise out there day I'm having, when you click into Northern Exposure for 48 minutes, it's a happy place to be. And it's a profound place.
Does a piece of paper make 2 people more married? Does a bar mitzvah make a child a man? Why do I have the urge to legitimize myself with a piece of paper? Was it to simply put a post-it note in this chapter of my life, or to say to the world, world, Kilroy Stevens, too, was here.
We had extraordinary writers. Every script was like a short story, a beautiful, the characters were unique. It was very challenging as an actor. And I think that that was also integral to the fan base. It's like, wow, what are we going to see this week? What's going to happen this week? And the reason the show, I think, was such a success because it was incredibly experimental.
One of the things that really distinguished the show more than anything ever in television was that the landscape was a character, you know, and it was the beginning of the cinematizing of television where the milieu, you know, where we were was so important. And I think that really, even if you're just flipping the channels, those frozen tundras would catch your eye because you didn't see that on television.
One of the things I found from watching Northern Exposure, there were really no clear-cut good guys or bad guys. It was just people being human, making good and bad decisions and trying to navigate the world as best they could. How do you both see that that aspect of the show?
You know, it's something interesting that Josh Brand, the co-creator, said that stuck with me. He said that anyone could get away with anything, could do anything, including murder, you know, or manslaughter. You could do anything, could happen in that town as long as there was no malice in their heart, right? Which I thought was really interesting, that as a way to kind of distinguish the uniqueness of the show and that people could coexist from any walks of life in a place like that where they can't in other places.
And you know, it's true. I think that we live in a society now where one wrong thing, you're out, you're blacklisted, you're out. And Northern Exposure was a place where people were allowed to be fallible. I think all the characters were good people. So there was this come full circle at the end where people, they may have been not perfect people, and I use that fallible word again, where they made mistakes, but at the end they recognized it. They came full circle and everybody was forgiving about it. But I do think the characters eventually found their moral compass and they were able to say, and that's what made the show so wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. You both are hosting a monumental podcast covering all 110 episodes called Northern Disclosure, which is quite a feat. You're gonna be working.
Yeah, we're on
that
like what, Gerald, show 8.
Yeah. Now I know the podcast is still new, but I wonder if either of you have learned anything so far that surprised you about your time in the show.
Hearing people's perspectives and what they were going through, how they got on the show. You know, we're all narcissists. You kind of have to. It goes with the territory. And so during the time when we were making the movie, we were all self-involved in our own realities, and having the distance now to kind of see other perspectives and hear the other actors talk, you know, hearing how people came to the show is interesting to me. And there's something great about having the perspective of time that I'm really appreciating.
Yeah, I agree with that. We never discussed our acting techniques, what we brought to the page, how we saw things differently, or how we prepared differently. So I think that's really fun for all of us to discover that at the same time. And we were completely separated from our producers. They were in Los Angeles. We were in Seattle. We rarely saw them. And so now we get to ask questions like, what exactly did you do as a supervising producer? You know, were you in every room for editing and sound? And it's a lot. We are able to be more behind the scenes than we were behind the scenes when we made it.
One of the things that I loved the most about the show were the occasional characters, the ones that came on not every episode, but every once in a while. There was Adam and Eve, Adam Arkin, and the late Valerie Mahaffey. There was Ed's shaman guide, Leonard, great Graham Greene, one of my favorite characters. Barbara Szymanski, the state trooper, Diane Delano. And
she passed too, God bless her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did she? I didn't know that.
Richard Cummings. Yeah, she did. She passed away recently. Richard Cummings. Was
yes,
there.
Yes.
I think Bill Irwin showed up a couple times.
Bebe Besh played my mother. She's passed on as well, but she portrayed my mother.
And one of my favorites who was on the very, very last episode I watched the other night, Rabbi Shulman, Jerry Adler. He was great.
I loved him. Oh, my God, I adored him. He was in a few episodes.
What is it that you're doing here?
Looking for guidance. In his her name.
In East Loon Lake?
Is that what they call this?
Rabbi, you're in Alaska.
Well, let's see, go where the search takes you.
Even though they were occasional characters, how much of an impact did these people have on the show?
I think, first of all, they brought into the world of Sicily, they brought the rest of the world, the rest of the country. There'd be people from other countries that would came to the show, or people from the lower 48, so to speak. You know, so they would bring in this kind of what's going on in the rest of the world, because Sicily is it's somewhat isolated. And then I think in terms of practically, it was great for us because, you know, there's a monotony sets in when you're doing a TV show. I mean, fortunately, there was such variety in Northern Exposure that I think it helped us. But yeah, at a certain point, you're like doing the same thing. You're doing a similar scene. And so when someone comes that's new, that has a new perspective and a freshness, it helps rejuvenate our energies.
Mm-hmm, so true, because we're there day in and day out. Everyone wanted to come be a guest star on the show. Huge stars wanted to be a guest star on the show, and they wouldn't allow it because they wanted to keep that sort of fantasy, the organicness of the town. So I think the closest we really got to a big star at the time was Peter Bogdanovich.
But you're right, Janine, because Stephen Stills came up to me once, and it blew my mind that he knew who I was, and begged to come on the show. And I pitched Josh and John, and they wouldn't hire him. I was like, how could you not let Stephen Stills come on the show? And he actually acted. He had done a couple TV movies and stuff, and I thought he'd be such a great character. But to Janine's point, they didn't want popular figures because they didn't want to date the show, I guess.
Were there any episodes that stick with you to this day? Are there any that you're really anxious to talk about on the podcast?
What was it called, Rob, when was it Aurora Borealis when Corbett's brother arrives and he doesn't know why he's there and they don't know their brothers?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, the crazy war. And as it so happened, you know, there were all these, especially from the first two seasons, these things that stick out, like dad was a traveling man. They finally figure out that their dad was having an affair with other women and their brothers.
Really? It was terrible. Every other July 3rd, he'd be on the road. Consequently, I feel half as old as I should be.
Your birthday's July 3rd?
July 3rd, 1963. What?
I was born July 3rd, 1963.
Do you have a picture of your father?
That's the same picture.
Also, I loved when my house, you know, Rob and I, of course, are going to gravitate to big shows for each of us, you know, but my show where my mother comes to town and she accidentally burns my house down. But then out of this demise of burnt ashes, Corbett, you know, Chris in the morning wants to fling something. And so he decides to fling my piano. And then and there's that great saying.
It's not the thing you fling. It's the fling itself.
You know, I just think it's hard to pick, but those are some ones that are fresh in our minds.
That one that Janine's talking about is probably the most quoted back to me. The one that most people reference is the Fling episode, which was just, it was a classic. It's definitely on my top 10 list for sure.
Nice.
I'll be.
Yeah.
Northern Exposure is experiencing renewed interest from viewers thanks to it being streamed on Amazon Prime right now. Given the world that we live in today, so much is different than the world from the 1990s. What do you think makes it relevant to people who are just now discovering it?
I think it's all the things we've been talking about. I mean, again, it's we keep, Janine and I keep coming back to this non-judgmental universe aspect of it, where all people can coexist. And I think that is, we need it. You know, during COVID, Ted Lasso became this phenomenon. And I think because it was, again, it was somewhat of a non-judgmental universe. And I, as an audience person, crave these kind of shows. I mean, I watch everything. I watch a lot of TV, and I watch stuff that I don't like. And I, you know, because either there's some artistic merit to it, or I'm curious about the genre. But the cynicism in so much popular entertainment is disheartening. You know, there's nothing really cynical about Northern Exposure. And so I think it's refreshing. It's a break from this conflicted world that we're living in.
And to build upon what Rob is talking about, I think that there's something in the show for anybody. If you're looking for a sexual kind of energy spark, you have that between Fleischman and O'Connell. If you're looking for depth of spirit, you have that. If you're looking for an Americana Wild West, you know, the town cares about it, you have that. If you're looking for an intellectualism, I'm talking about Jung and Freud and Walt Whitman, and you have that. If you want to just be aesthetically pleased, the show wasn't afraid to be a myriad of things to come together. And so you can plug into the show no matter where you are in life. Not to mention it was funny and quirky, and it didn't take itself too seriously.
Janine Turner and Rob Morrow, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a delight to have you on Beta. Thank you so much.
Oh, and I'll say shout out to Wisconsin. I drove to Wisconsin once, one of the winners for my foundation. We filmed right there on the lake. So it's a beautiful, beautiful place. So shout out to everybody there.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Rob Morrow and Janine Turner were the co-stars of the hit comedy drama series Northern Exposure. Now they are the co-hosts of the podcast Northern Disclosure. Steve Gotcher talked to them. Find out more about Rob, Janine, and Northern Disclosure at WPR.org/beta.
They're quite close in that way, sisters are, where it's always sort of layers of competition and rivalry and petty grievances and then deep love, all folded on top of each other.
Coming up, one of the superstars of the suspense genre, Megan Abbott, on her latest pulsating and propulsive novel, El Dorado Drive. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.